Hey folks, my name is Michael Cox and welcome to the Heart Work Podcast. Today, you get a special treat. I am joined by my beautiful bride, Coloma. We've been together for 24 years. Can you believe it?
24. Yep. Just celebrated July 7th.
We did. It just hit 24, but known each other since 2000. In that time period, we've owned three different houses. That is right.
Three houses, yes.
We have three kids and a dog, and we still have a good time together.
We do have a lot of good times together.
Yeah, right. And some of that includes the boys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. In our this podcast, I wanted to give you a chance to see my better half. She really is the better half. And maybe discuss a few topics. Discuss our marriage, kind of what where that's come, how it's evolved, sure. Who we are as parents, what it's like to bring all that together. Right. So I just wanted to have you on to have a conversation. But I think probably it would be good for folks to get to hear a little bit more about who you are.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, my name is Coloma. I was born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. Yes, I am a native to Texas. So I grew up there part of my life. And then the other part in middle and high school, went to a little town of Seminole, Texas, about an hour from Lubbock.
Where I was born, by the way.
Yes, you were born in Seminole. Grew up there and then went off to college, mm-hmm. Up in a little community as well of Canyon, Texas. From there, just began to develop my understanding of my faith. Mm-hmm. And so, just the beauty of it.
So you went from, you were a theater major.
Yes.
She's the drama in the relationship. You're the theater major and end up transitioning to biology.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. now have taught children yes. for 26 years.
Yes.
All those weird mix-ups.
Uh-huh.
It's all of who you are. We'll take it. I like it.
Yes. But we've landed on education.
Yes. So, and been doing it for 26 years.
Love it.
Yes, yes. And she's amazing at it. Really, mm-hmm. really good. At some point, we've got to tell the story about me working in your classroom in pre-K. Y'all ain't never been more tired in my life. Working with pre-Kers every single day. Coloma had all kinds of energy. I had to take a nap, a long nap.
Yes.
Every time. But we'll get to that story at some point. I would love, let's talk a little bit about how we met.
For sure. So like I said, I went to Canyon and got to develop understanding of my faith, and where that comes in is I got to connect with a ministry called Beach Reach. And from there, it's an outreach connected down at South Padre Island. Yes, it's the pinnacle of being on the beach during spring break.
Yeah, we met spring break on the beach.
Yes.
So we weren't partying.
Definitely not partying. But being able to share my faith and how important that was to me. Mm-hmm. And so from that point, it was actually in 2000 where there was definitely not a plan for me to be there, because at the time I had started teaching. It was on my second year of teaching. But it was just it was a pivotal point in my life where my parents actually sent me. They mm-hmm. helped get me there. And
so basically you were sent there.
I was sent there.
I got there and didn't want to be there. I was a little disgruntled because I had to choose the Beach Reach as opposed to going overseas or something in an internship that I was doing.
Yeah. So I get I have the awesome opportunity to be in the auditorium of Island Baptist Church, and we are introduced. The groups are introduced with their leaders. And I see a leader that I hadn't seen because I'd been going since 1993.
Mm-hmm. And this was 2000.
And this was 2000.
I got to pause you. So my version of the story is she was checking me out. Right. And so she said that all these hundreds of people that were at the beach, she saw me.
Uh-huh. It's not like we stuck out.
True, but let me have my feels about it.
Okay. Either way, so however, I had a different schedule than everybody else. I slept during the day and was up at nighttime. So being able to see an individual I hadn't met, I only saw him on the Saturday, and it wasn't until an hour before we're leaving to depart back to Canyon, Amarillo area, where I have a 5-minute conversation with Michael. Mm-hmm. And so the big thing was strategic. Is I was teaching his students how to salsa dance.
Yes. So I come in the room now, of course. She was checking me out now. Who gets to check out who? Is she's teaching our students. At the time, swing dancing was a big deal.
Yes.
And so she was teaching them how to salsa dance. And of course, I like to dance Latina, right? This all happened at once. Of course, I'm going to talk to her. We talked for what, maybe
5 minutes at max. Maximum. Yes.
And at that point, exchanged information. Mm-hmm. She said it was my little black book, my big black book.
He did have a black book at the time.
So, but it was all the information was there.
Yes. Gave phone number, address, email.
She gave
all
me
the time.
All the information, folks. Yes. That was before you could just snap a QR code or any of those things, right?
Right.
So that was in there. So we fast forward, we meet. That was in March of 2000.
Correct.
And in May of 2000, I moved back to New Mexico to work as a youth pastor. You were working in Amarillo. I come and meet you and say, hey, I want to be more than friends. And now we hadn't seen each other one time. We talked via email, like chat rooms, y'all. Come on now.
Yes. That was
like back in the day. Chat rooms, mm-hmm. back and forth. I knew in College Station, I knew I wanted to marry you. So we get back to, I go visit her in Amarillo when she was teaching. And I say, hey, I want to be more than friends. And you...
I start crying. I'm like, that was definitely not what I expected. Yeah. So anyhow...
So that was May.
That was May. And then come August.
Yeah. Well,
Sorry, I want to jump. It was July.
It was July. So for the longest time, this is where our title of this concert, I was her special friend.
Yes.
Like, wasn't dating, wasn't her boyfriend. Mm-mm. I was her special friend for a very long time, right? And so in July, we made it official. I kissed her after a date. Shout out to Ben and Christian. After officiating a wedding, I kissed her for the first time. She had her hair all slicked back, this nice looking dress. Kissed her for the first time. That was in July. Now, remember, folks, we met in March. That was in July. And August, I proposed.
First day of school. My principal was in on the thing as well.
Yes. So it proposed. She said yes. And yes, we're 25 years later from that. But in that process, I think something that's really good to know as to hear a little bit about us and as we transition to more about us is we, Coleman grew up Catholic.
Yes.
And so in that, we're trying to figure out who's going to do our premarital counseling, that kind of stuff. We went to one session with a priest.
Yes.
No, he's a great guy. I was like, dude has never had sex. I, to my knowledge, he definitely had been married. And so mm-hmm. I'm like, I just don't know if this is going to work. Mm-hmm. So we got to find something. So we end up going to an engagement encounter.
Correct.
And then what did they tell us at the engagement encounter?
So interesting enough, the engagement encounter, they had a specific activity where you were back to back and they gave us cards, one green and one red. And they asked us specific questions. And after the activity, they're like, hey, y'all really need to talk about these topics as to how quickly do y'all want to have children?
How many children do you want?
Like, do you, so just different things to that nature. Like, who's going to cook? Who's going to pay the bill? We're like off on every single one.
They had somebody, y'all need to talk. So we were engaged at this point, and so we kept telling different answers, right? And so some of that is a precursor to us thinking about our future now together for 25 years. What we know is we're completely opposite people.
100%.
Any assessment that we take, we find out that we are on the different ends of the spectrum. But amazingly, as you hear us talk about in just a moment, it's amazing how it works until it doesn't.
Right.
The moments that it didn't work so great, but those moments that we know that God has brought us together and we have the great privilege of living this life together. But as we go through, there's a couple things I want us to think about as we're thinking through us being different people. We oftentimes maybe handle conflict differently. We've experienced life differently growing up. And I was 25 when we got married. You were
27.
Mm-hmm. So we had lived a little bit of life and had gotten some things done on our own, but we had lived enough life with our parents
sure.
to kind of experience some things and begin knowing what life was about. And so I just want to throw out there for you, and I'll give just a quick overview for myself as well. What did love and affection look like for you? How did you know you were loved growing up to the day before the day we met,
sure.
right? Or any of those things? How did you know you were loved or didn't?
So growing up, really, in a home, definitely went to church, but we kept the discussions at church. So it was one of those things that, like, we knew it was something that we did. I think for sure, I knew my mom was faith was very important to her. Mm-hmm. And she taught me the prayers, like, hey, the Our Father, Hail Mary. And I know without a doubt that she wanted, you know, those were things that were important. Mm-hmm. And so I could definitely see having her support and showing me that. I felt that.
Yeah.
And then also seeing Dad, he was a hard worker. He provided, and I could see him, you know, providing for our family. Mm-hmm. But definitely I could see where there was some struggles within their relationship, yeah. and seeing how oftentimes conversations wouldn't land so well. I can see also growing up too, where it would be difficult to like engage with Dad because we didn't know what kind of mood he was going to mm-hmm. be in, into where it was very silent and yeah. almost cold. But I knew that he cared for us mm-hmm. because he would provide.
Yeah.
So that was something that I knew growing up.
Yeah. So that love came in provision.
Correct.
Right. But at least from Dad. Mm-hmm. Mom, it came from interaction, faith sharing.
Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. 100%.
And you almost kind of hit on too, what does safety look like? I didn't ask you that directly, but how did you know you were safe? And it sounds like at times maybe you didn't mm-hmm. quite feel that way.
Yeah, definitely with Mom felt safe. I could share with her, you know, hey, this is how school's going or not.
Yeah.
But also just knowing like our interactions where she said, hey, can you pray for your dad about, mm-hmm. you know, whatever's going on with him? And I can just remember a conversation with her when I was about 12 years old. We had already moved to Seminole and being able to see like, hey, there's something that your dad's struggling with and, you know, we need to pray for him.
Yeah.
But then with Dad knowing like, hey, my mom pretty much gave him an ultimatum. Hey, we're moving. You're coming, you know, with us yeah. or not. And so being able to see like that was just a shift that I began to see like their relationship just kind of like in, it was a difficult yeah. time, but I knew that it was something that we needed to do as a family, mm-hmm. whether he came or not.
Yeah.
So definitely didn't feel quite safe with what was happening there, but being able to, you know, just be open and honest. Yeah. And so oftentimes there was very much a lot of unspoken, mm-hmm. Where sometimes it just didn't feel secure.
Yeah. 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 So, you know, as I've said before is, our parents know this, but just so that y'all know this, this is nothing about throwing our parents under the bus or whatever, mm-hmm. the rug or wherever we might throw them. It's just simply what our experiences were as children. And so, you know, I grew up in a home where, my parents were out a lot, particularly my dad was out a lot. How did I know I was loved is oftentimes those family gatherings, but also many times not feeling like I was a part. And like I connected. And so I was oftentimes feeling a little different and that I was not amongst. And that's not even just my immediate family. You go but beyond that. There were times I felt like I didn't fit in. Mm-hmm. Right. So felt alone oftentimes. I never felt like I wasn't safe, but oftentimes what felt like I was the responsible one. Mm. Right. It was my responsibility to do certain things. And so have continued that on to this day. Right. And so I say that because I think as we talk about us as a couple, as we talk about us now as parents, mm-hmm. you know, we've been parents together for 18 plus years now, 18 and a half.
Yeah.
Just that's 18 and a half. It is realizing that those things play a factor into our relationship, right? They play a factor into how we engage each other. They play a factor into how we engage our children. And without taking a little bit of a view of life prior to our marriage, even though it was 25 years ago, 24 years ago marriage, it's maybe neglecting that. And so really just beginning to see that difference. So how would you say though we're different, right? Again, those of you who know the DISC scale, when last first time we took it, someone, the facilitator, our former pastor's wife looked at it. She goes, yeah, I don't think I've ever in my life seen people so completely opposite. And so being able to see that, how do you think we lean into each other when it comes to, let's just say our relationship and then more specifically parenting? How do you feel like we lean into each other? And we'll talk in a moment about maybe where we find some obstacles in that.
Sure. So definitely, recognizing that, oftentimes I can see how important that planning is, mm-hmm. and that is definitely not my strength.
Yeah.
And so being able to see how important that is, because it gives us, you know, room to, if we need, you know, to be flexible, there yeah. is, but at least there's a you know, I definitely lean a lot into you when mm-hmm. it comes to that. So as you can see, that's not my strength.
Yep, yep. So lean in. And so I think, again, let's, and I don't think it's unique to us, but we're putting it out there, is Oklahoma is definitely the more spontaneous one, and one that kind of just kind of goes with the flow. And I can lean into you with that because I can be tight wound, just to put it out there, right? We often tell you joke about I could live in a
museum.
I could live in a museum if we let it, when it comes to keeping things clean and that kind of stuff. And so being able to lean in those. And I think something that I typically say is, whether it's when we're teaching couples together, coaching couples together, or working with folks, is our differences can be what unites us as opposed to what divides us, right? Sure. And so I think we live in a world right now where differences are seen as a negative thing. And the reality is we were all made different. We're uniquely made. And yes. So leaning into that, but there are times, right, where it can be difficult in learning to lean each other. So it's one example of planning those things. However, it's been pretty interesting over 24 years. Some of that's starting to...
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Where I even have my, okay, hey, what's happening? Okay, we've got to plan this out. Yeah. So yeah, I can begin to see that, that's, you know, taking on those roles as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So where would you say when it comes to trying to lean into each other, where do you find that that's difficult? Like maybe where there are, maybe you talk about unpredictability in your childhood, me kind of maybe feeling a little isolated, but also when you think about our marriage, where would you say that it's hard sometimes to lean into each other?
Definitely for me, you know, in graciously fashion is being able to see how you like certain things. Mm-hmm. And to where down to cooking, just take that for example, mm-hmm. where, you know, definitely that is not my wheelhouse, but like, I definitely rely and lean on you a lot when it comes to like, what am I going to put in my body? And so I can see like, that's important to you. Seeing like, hey, I can also contribute, just show me how or tell me how. Mm-hmm. So being able to walk through that and not feel like I'm got to do it on pins and needles, just like being confident and being able to communicate like, hey, I'm going to need your help. Can you send me the recipe? And being able to walk through that with you.
Yeah.
I
think for me, I think it's when there's those places where it's, I see where they can conflict is being able to me not be overbearing in something, whether it's in the kitchen or whatever it might be, and you're being willing to lean in, right? I think that sometimes it happens where maybe you're not, maybe I'm not approachable, or I'm being very stringent in my ways, and you're just like, I'm not going to deal with that, to keep from maybe going off as part of that. But I could see that that's where it can be tension for us at times.
And where I had my tendency is to escape and like go somewhere else and figure out something else to do while Michael's in the kitchen.
So it's that going back and forth that it is time that we've got to learn how to, what some people might call a dance, right? What does that dance look like and how to lean that? So if we leaned into thinking about our kids, where would you say, particularly when it comes to the strengths and weaknesses that we have, where do you see those rise up in our boys? You think about my strengths and weaknesses, your strengths and weaknesses. I obviously got some things in my mind about that, but where would you say you see those things come up?
Definitely when you're addressing the boys in a certain way or a tone, I can hear it. And sometimes that just, you know, I get a certain feeling and I'm thinking, oh no, like it's almost to where I'm taking that on, but it's like, no, he's addressing our boys. And so it's not like he's trying to control the situation. He's either you have a question about it or you're concerned about it, but just like, I guess the I'm taking it as in like, oh my gosh, she's trying to control right now. And so I can, there'll be a certain feeling that rises up in me, but I know that you have the best interest in mind. So I kind of have to think through like, it's not directed towards me. It's through the boys. Like, how can I help support him in that, in that interaction per se? Because I could easily want to say, oh, it's okay. You know, after you've visited with him, and obviously that's like not us, you know, trying to like connect with what needs to be addressed at the time.
So I think that push and pull of sometimes feeling like I don't want to ever be the brute, right? Or the mean one in the family, whatever it might be. But I also recognize for myself where that can feel harsh. And as our boys get older, right, they have their own opinions, as we talked about earlier. They were responding. And so my own stuff can stir up. And we'll talk about this in more detail in other episodes. But my own stuff can stir up, right, in those moments. And so if I don't feel supported, if I feel alone in that process, maybe I'm going to push in harder, right? I'm going to come in stronger. And so if I'm already feeling it from the boys, and then I feel like not that support's not there for you, I'm like, oh, right. I have a tendency to go inward, folks. Like, I think naturally for myself, when conflict arises, whether it's between the two of us or even with the boys or familial, I automatically go to this place of, what did I do wrong? Or what did I say correctly? Or was I not clear in my instruction? Did I come across too hard? Any of those things, I could easily go in there. And my default go-to is to try to fix it. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes that fixing and what we call maybe our pain, my fixing can come on strong. Yeah. Right. And you said for yourself, it's kind of that pull away.
Yeah, definitely. I escape to avoid, to gather myself, to cry, to figure out like what is going on in me, mm-hmm. Or like, hey, I don't measure up, or I'm not adequate in the idea of being able to approach the boys, even if I see that, hey, I could have totally helped Michael with that. And yeah. I'm like, yeah.
So you mentioned earlier, not in the podcast, but we were talking earlier today about a couple of episodes ago, we talked about us parenting and what does that look like? And so you gave a great example of what you could ask, what does that look like for us? Like, what is us parenting and what is the language we might use? And I really appreciated your example about when I'm gone.
Sure. So the boys have never not known Michael to travel for work. And so being able to talk through with it, if I see the boys are like, you know, at it or about to, you know, say some harsh things to each other, I just try to immediately just step in and saying, okay, guys, listen, you know, I want you to make sure that you are being respectful in your words and your actions, because you can't take them back. And oftentimes I do have to get a tone with them, mm-hmm. but knowing like, hey, you know, it's going to be important for me to be able to step in and address it and know like, hey, I want you to know, like, hey, whether your dad is here or not, like, this is, you know, we want to make sure that you know that we're not going to stand for how you are addressing one another in words and action.
Yeah.
And so whether you're in the room or not, that they know, like, hey, this is mom and dad speaking, even though it's mom addressing you at this time.
Yeah. So there's not division, right?
Right.
And so no matter which parent or if we're there together, it's about who we are as parents, their parents, or us parenting is bringing all of our strengths and weaknesses to that process and being able, after 24 years, hopefully we're speaking similar language, but being on the same page about them being young men of character and of value, loving each other, speaking kindly, all those different things. And sometimes it's said, right? Sometimes there's a directive around doing that. And then other times, I think more importantly, it's modeling it. You know, something you said earlier is this sense of...
Yeah, well, just knowing like, hey, have you ever heard me speak to your dad in that form? Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's like, hey, you're not going to hear me addressing your dad in such a way that it's going to show disrespect or in my words and my actions as well. And so being able for them to know like, hey, we want to make sure that you guys are addressing each other in a manner.
Yeah.
And sometimes that doesn't land very well. I have to get pretty stern at times, and they're like, mom,
teenage boys.
Right. So mom, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Mm-hmm. And then therefore I have to check myself as well. So sometimes it doesn't land.
Yeah. It may not come out the way you want it to, but
exactly. At
the end of the day, it is part of our process of raising young men, right? Mm-hmm. And so coming back to this concept that we're doing this together, there's nothing perfect about it. We can just throw that one out the door. You probably heard me say that before. Just throw it out the door about being perfect, but it is allowing ourselves to get to a place of understanding who we are as individuals, and then more importantly, who we are as a couple, so that we can parent well together with our boys. And so when we've had difficulty, we come back and we repair it. We'll apologize and work through those things. But at the end of the day, it's working together. So thank you so much, Hunt, for being on. You're really nervous and you did great.
Thank you.
Anything final thing you want to say? Anything that?
No, the one thing that I would say is just to give yourself grace because we're not going to get the right verbiage at the time, especially when you're feeling a certain way. And just recognize like to give yourself grace as you're, you know, working through the parenting part because it can be difficult because now it's here, but then you also have to incorporate another individual. Yeah. So giving yourself grace and take lots of deep breaths.
Yes. And working together. So I would say it is the tone of our home. So we call ourselves the Cox Crew. The tone of our home is established here. The foundation of our home and the strength of the foundation of our home starts with the foundation of our own individual relationships with ourselves and with the Lord. And then our relationship together becomes a foundation. And so we're going to hit on a couple other conversations later about we've asked our boys, right, about what do they see in marriage? What do they want in their own marriage based upon what they see? It's very humbling, right? You ask that question to your children about what is it that you see in your relationship. So guess what? Coming up, you're going to get a chance in our coming episodes. You're going to get a chance to meet our boys. I'm going to be on one at a time. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but our boys are going to join me here. I'm going to do one at a time and the boys coming in. But I think it's important for folks this chance to just hear what I'm talking about, just to get to see it. So I wanted to start with here, the foundation of our relationship, but our boys are going to be joining. So tune in after this episode with myself and Coloma. Thank you again for joining me.
I work for tacos.
I work for tacos. See, I get to pay her in food. That's why I get to cook. And so join me next week for time with one of our boys. I don't know which one it's going to be, but one of our boys will be on and you get to see the rest of the time. And so please subscribe, share all the socials, all those different things. And again, thank you for joining us on the Heart Work Podcast. Take care.